Good afternoon. It's 3 p.m. Weather for the KRVS listening area. Sunny this afternoon with a high of about 76 degrees. Winds from the southwest at 5 miles per hour. Clear skies overnight with a low of around 59. And on Wednesday, another nice day, a sunny one with around temperatures reaching around 82 degrees. Winds from the southwest at 10 to 15. Currently, it's fair and 76 here on the campus of UL Lafayette. Coming up at 4 o'clock, it's All Things Considered from NPR News. We're going to begin this hour by heading into the interview studio with Judith Merriweather.
And joining me in the KRVS studios this afternoon are Emmy Morgan and Colin Miller with Creative Action, and Gérard Adizel, who is their keynote speaker for the event tomorrow, The Power of Creativity, CES 2.2. So glad to have you all back. I know we spoke with you a few weeks ago about this event, and you were still firming up some of the details. And so here we are. It's Innovate going on in Lafayette right now, started last weekend, I guess. And this program, The Power of Creativity, is kind of a part of the whole mix of Innovate and encouraging creativity in our community. So let's start off just kind of just describing again for people who may not have heard you the last couple times you've been on, what your organization is. First of all, Creative Action.
Sure, yeah. Well, first, Judith, let me say thank you for having us today. It's nice to be back. Creative Action started probably last summer out of a series of meetings between me and Emmy and a number of friends of ours who work for various organizations for various causes. And we said, okay, we all think that there are a lot of really amazing things happening in Acadiana right now. There's a real sense that we have an arts, and we've had an art scene and a craft scene and things like that that have existed for decades, but we feel that Lafayette is really, really taking it to the next step. It's taking it to the next level. There are more and more people who work in creative industries and artists who want to move here. There are a number of people like me and Emmy who are trying to find out how to support ourselves with what we love to do here. So there's that, and then there's some things with regards to diversity and again with this whole innovation thing. So creativity, diversity, and innovation are sort of the three main points that we identified going into these conversations. And we said we want to start a series of events that highlight these three elements as things that exist in our community and that make us strong, and how can we work on those and make the community even stronger. So we wanted to open up a series of events that would sort of help create a public dialogue to lead us in that direction. And also we said we would like to provide people who work in creative industries with networking opportunities and professional development tools to help them with their careers and to get them started. And we'd like to be a sort of clearinghouse for ideas locally about creativity, diversity, and innovation. And then, after our first event, which was in November, and it was a huge success, we found out in December that the Chamber, their innovation division, is working on this whole Innovate project. And we were asked to be a part of it, and we said, this is perfect. This is exactly what we're talking about. So then we became for this particular event, we're part of this much, much larger umbrella that is Innovate. And we're totally excited about it because it's completely in line with everything our group has been saying.
Right, something going on every day this week. Yeah. And your event, The Power of Creativity, is tomorrow from 1 until 6. Now, you mentioned that your event, Emmy, in December was quite a big success.
Yes.
A lot of people attended. But out of that, of course, your vision is quite ambitious and some wonderful, very positive ideas. But as you said, you were starting a conversation. And so after the first program, you begin to think about what had happened at that program and really how you needed to change something in order to offer people maybe something a little more practical.
Right. Mm-hmm. So in the first program, we had three presentations and a panel mm-hmm. discussion, and about the kind of the state of creativity, innovation, and diversity in Acadiana at the moment. And then we began to hear back from people that they enjoyed that was good to get the discussion started, but that they really wanted something more interactive and hands-on from us. So we decided for this event that we'd put together something a little bit different, that we're going to have from 1 to 4 a series of professional development workshops for artists and creative workers. So that means that they are going to apply to anyone within the creative industries, from architects, designers, software engineers, trying to put together something that would be useful to all of them. And so those workshops are, the first one is a small business toolkit, so how to begin your own small business and put together a business plan. Second one is on becoming a full-time music professional, so making that transition between something that you do on the side or on the weekends to something you do full-time. We're also going to do an intellectual property workshop, so to begin to introduce people who are in the creative class, which means that they are, as their profession, creating intellectual property.
Right. I will say intellectual property is actually a very huge huge area.
So it's just an introduction, but
partially it's... Partially, like, let's say more sort of in the area of copyright and things like that, and helping
image
artists.
Rights, copyrights, yeah. How to protect the ideas that you were creating.
Correct, yeah.
And how to begin to navigate that world.
Now, I know these workshops, you need to be registered for them.
You do not have to register in advance. We would love that if you could. There is an easy way to do that on our Facebook site, on our website, and it goes through PayPal at AOC, who is our fiscal agent. So AOC's website has it listed, and our as well as our Facebook and our website. Our website is CESLafayette.com, and our Facebook is Facebook/CESLafayette. So both of those are good ways to find out how to register, but you can show up the day of.
All right.
And then our final workshop, I don't want to leave this out, is grant writing. Mm-hmm. So give you an introduction on how to begin writing grants, and because that's something that everyone in the creative industries really needs that skill.
We also have a team building workshop led by some of the members of Acting Up in Acadiana Professional Theater Company. That one, we didn't actually list it on the card because it sold out instantly because a local company wanted to buy up the whole thing, which is really what it's geared towards. So hopefully Acting Up in Acadiana and Amy Wagspeck will want to work with
offer
us on more
again.
Of those in the future. Yeah.
So the others are open, and you can either pre-register or just show up tomorrow.
Correct.
To take one of those. Again, small business toolkit, or on becoming a full-time music professional, or the intellectual property
workshop. No, there is a small fee that's $10 for regular admission and $5 for students and seniors, but still very affordable for what you're getting. Yeah. It will be a real help for you professionally.
And we absolutely accept walk-ins tomorrow.
Yes, definitely.
And that is at the Acadiana Center for the Arts.
Correct.
Okay, starting at 1 o'clock, and those go until 4 different times staggered.
Right.
So check on the website for times.
Exactly.
And then you have a period from 2 to 4, and again, it seemed like this was something you had to sign up for in advance.
Well, you can still walk in and sign up, but we will have times. It's a fine art portfolio review, so we have three people definitely who are going to be there available to review portfolios. And it's probably most useful for either high school students or bachelor students in fine arts looking to either go into a bachelor's degree program or go into a master's degree program to help prepare your portfolio for that. But it can also be useful for professional artists as well to get them ready maybe for presenting a show or presenting to a gallery. And those will be done by Brian Guidry, who is a curator at the ACA, Stephanie Patton, who is a local artist, but she also worked for Pratt for a number of years doing this in admissions at Pratt, so she's really an excellent resource for any students out there who want to know what universities are looking for. And then David Weber, I'm blanking out here. David Weber teaches media art at UL and really is a very good review of gives a very good critique, and he will be there to help out with anyone who has digital work or any kind of work in general, but that's his focus. So.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned high school students, because I know we do have a number who listen at this time, or their parents are listening. It would be an excellent opportunity, and this goes from 2 until 4 p.m.,
correct.
So they have plenty of time since I think
and that's
out.
Going to be, right, so it's 2 hours long. We'll have 15-minute time slots you'll be able to sign up for, but you can come and sign up for them at the time and wait around or go and listen to other things while you're waiting.
Mm-hmm. Now, can you sign up ahead of time on the website as well?
We don't have advanced sign-ups for that workshop.
So you just need to show up for the fine art portfolio review.
Right.
And then the next part of the program, I know you're both very excited about, and in particular, Emmy. Emmy just graduated from Alfred University up in New York State, and you talked about the keynote speaker, Gérard Edizel, the last time you all were here. He is with us this afternoon. And was your professor at Alfred, and maybe you can tell us, give us an introduction before
we
talk.
Well, Gérard is the chair of the art history department at Alfred University. Let's see, I'm going to get this right. The School of the College of Ceramics, oh no, School of Art and Design, College of Ceramics, New York State College of Ceramics.
At Alfred University, yeah.
Yes, at Alfred University. It's a very long name.
Is there an easy acronym for it?
School of Art and Design.
Yeah, okay.
Alfred.
School of Art and Design. Let's just call it Alfred.
Alfred, right? That's how it's known.
Well, Gérard, they were extremely complimentary and very excited about your coming to speak to us and our community. You have been at Alfred for about 22 years now,
22
you
years
were saying.
Mm-hmm.
You're now head of that department. And Alfred, and I'm sure a number of our listeners have heard of it, it's quite well known as for the arts, as an art university. I'm sure you've had great experience with young artists. It's kind of like an incubator up there, and you do send them out into various communities where they need to live and work and make a living and deal with the entire world of art, which can be quite complex to navigate, I think, these days. So tell us about the talk you'll be giving that will be, I guess, central to what these young people are hoping to achieve here.
Yes, I will talk about the formation of the modern concept of art and, of course, linked to this, the artist. Of course, the art history books start in the caves, right? But in a sense, that's art. But the modern concept of art is not that old. It was invented at a specific point in history, in the 18th century, and went through many changes. So I'm going to talk about that genealogy, how it started, why it started, and how it got transformed. And linked to that, I'm going to talk about the institutions of art that we're familiar with, which also were invented at a specific point in time, such as museums, art history, for instance, an institution, the gallery system, and biennials, and so on, which form the art world.
Which really didn't exist before that in the same way.
No, it did not exist. All these are modern. They came into existence in the 18th century for a specific reason and developed and changed. So it's art then is a concept that has a beginning, and we sustain it. We are interested in it. It went through transformations. So I'm going to track some of these transformations and say something about where we are today.
So it's no longer the simple process of just you're an artist, you get a patron, and you stay in his court for the rest of your life painting and doing what you want. It seems like it's become quite complex.
Yes, in fact, the modern concept of art begins when that system comes to an end, as it collapses. There are new inventions to sustain that activity, and that also shapes how this activity is going to take place. It has an impact on every aspect, including the size of the art, for instance.
Well, do you find when these young people come to university and begin taking your classes, do you find that they have a kind of a misconception about the world that they're heading into?
Yes, yes. And I'm going to talk about that too, in the mythologies of art, which I'm very interested in setting aside, let's say, and I insist on this with my students, clearing the air, so to speak, so that they go into art without misconceptions, having a better idea of what they are getting into and why.
And what are some of the most common mythologies or misconceptions that you have to have them
put aside?
That
you're born an artist, right? And that you need to have some kind of genius in order to do it, and so on, right? The students are told, oh, you're a born artist, and by their families, because they their work is appreciated. So there are inclinations, right? I'm not denying that, but one has to work hard to become an artist.
And do they have misconceptions about, I guess, how they're going to navigate the rest of their life, how they're going to achieve this life as an artist?
I think so, yes. It's if one wants to become an artist, one has to introduce oneself into the art world and be part of the discourse. It's a discourse. One does not become an engineer, for instance, because one really thinks it's cool. One has to go through the steps. One has to be introduced to that discourse and enter that world, which has its own language, its own sets of rules, right? So art, in a sense, is similar, but a bit more complicated, because one can also get into the art world from different and more unusual routes. One can be an outsider and then move in to the center. And I'm going to talk about this, the periphery of art, the margins of art, what's happening there. Very interesting things are happening there. And how do they get picked up? Why do they get picked up by the institutions and then pulled in? Right.
And I'm sure that in your classes you have students who are interested in many types of art, video art, painters, printmakers, a full range of them. How do you take all of these disparate interests and begin to give them a sense of those peripheries? How do you start off with them, all these different interests and young artistic leanings?
I'm lucky because I'm teaching at a school where these boundaries are not strict. Students are, and that's great about Alfred, can move from one medium to another. They can combine interests depending on what project they have in mind. So one does not get in and say, well, you're going to become a painter and that's it. You know, don't look that way towards sculpture or whatever. We don't have that. I try to cover what we call the variety of mediums. But I tend to focus on at a more conceptual level about what art is and why one would be engaged in it. I talk about specific artworks and the projects of artists. The distinctions, you know, the painting and the sculpture side and so on.
It's not so strict.
That doesn't make any sense anymore. Nationalities don't make sense anymore. And there are reasons for this. You know, there was something called the French painting, the Italian school, and so on. This is historical. We cannot think in those terms anymore.
And I think people are really noticing that around here, that there's so much collaboration and merging of various art forms here. So many artists doing things together and trying different forms. So you're right, those boundaries really aren't the same. Even here, they seem to be disappearing a bit.
Right.
I want to tell people who may just be tuning in, my guests are Emmy Morgan and Colin Miller, who are Creative Action. And their next program is tomorrow. It's called The Power of Creativity. It is at the Acadiana Center for the Arts. You can go to their website to find a complete listing of events going on there. It is a part of the Innovate Week that is being put on by the Chamber of Commerce and many other organizations here in town. Right. Also with us is Gérard Edizel, who is at Alfred University, head of the art department, and is the keynote speaker for the event tomorrow. So you have these young students, and what is, as you begin to talk to them about, or have them lay aside their misconceptions and talk to them about the structure of art, and how do you think about your responsibility of shaping them for that moment when they graduate and they go out and they're living in Lafayette or somewhere in California, or because I'm sure they scatter across the country, the students that you have at Alfred. What do you tell them, you know, sort of, as I guess, as the, where do you send them off into the future? What do you tell them about that world?
Network.
Network. The first word that comes to your head.
That's it. You have to. Make links. Be part of your community and try to make a difference.
Right. And I guess now with technology, that networking can be even wider. It's not just within that smaller community, but you maintain those ties wherever you're formed, whether it's Alfred or other schools, or you can maintain those ties so easily, whether for inspiration or professional development. I'm sure that's quite different than it was 25 years ago.
Yes. Right. Yes. One can be local and national and global at the same time.
Right. You really are competing at many different levels at the moment. You're competing internationally as well as locally because of the internet, because there is no longer a central art world. It's no longer located in New York. The largest art market in the world now is in Beijing. Mm-hmm. So it has very much changed the face of the art world. I'm sure I was going to talk about that.
Now, you're an art historian, and you've been at Alfred 22 years. How long have you been an art historian? Longer than that?
Well, I started as an artist, as a designer, and then studied fine arts, and then intellectual history, and then art history. So I'm a bit, my background is a little different.
Again, the boundaries
are
not.
I have a sense of what's happening in the studio and what artists, how to teach art history to artists. My career started mostly in Alfred, and I've been there ever since. It's a terrific, dynamic place.
Amazing students I know go there. So just in your tenure as an artist and an academic teaching art history, how have you seen the trends? And I think for many of us lay people who aren't artists or haven't studied artwork, it seems very opaque, the art world and the trends, and I think many of us don't really know how to grapple with those. How would you describe, barring the fact that we don't have a whole semester for you to tell us about that, but sort of the traditions in the past 25 years since you first began doing art, what has been the most major change in the art world?
There is tremendous diversity. We cannot talk about movements anymore. Mm-hmm. They are happening so quickly, mm-hmm. So many of them. And we can no longer talk about, I mentioned that before, about mediums, because artists migrate depending on their projects. And then there is, of course, the computer-based technologies, new media, what's called new media, and the internet, which has made quite a difference. The installations, that's a big new mode of working, presenting art, which allows the combination of various mediums together. These are the changes. We don't have these manifestos that generate movements that last four, 5, 6 years. That we don't have that anymore. It's all happening everywhere, all the time.
At the same time.
At the same time.
It's sort of interesting.
It's fascinatingly confusing.
Yes, right? Fascinating to be in that world. And I'm trying to imagine the art history books being written 25, 50 years from now, trying to describe this period. It will be very interesting.
Yes.
Can I just jump in here? I want to say, watching Girard is always a very entertaining experience. He does not sit still. So you should see, it's very hard, I can see, for him to sit in this chair and talk into the microphone. And he gave this amazing lecture this morning on art in the internet age, which he was just about to kind of get into, but I know he's trying not to get into deep, about how the internet has changed the distribution and the creation of art. At Camp Fiber for Creatives, he gave this amazing talk this morning. And I want to mention that he's also going to be giving a talk at UL this afternoon at 5:30 and 1:34 on Fletcher Hall. I believe that's 1:34. It's the auditorium.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, Gerard, we gave you a big schedule.
It was fun.
Yes, and I want to mention, too, that Elmer Morgan Jr. Endowment for the Visual Arts is helping us out with Gerard's visit down here. They've been very very good sponsors for us.
Absolutely.
So people can hear Gerard this evening, 5:30,
yes,
here on campus at UL in Fletcher Hall, and that is in the auditorium, room 134. And will your talk be the same as you'll be giving tomorrow?
Or
yes, the genealogy of the artist. And
yes, and tonight we will have a little bit longer for questions and answers. If people are interested in that, they can come
back. But it's like a bit like jazz, I'm going to talk tonight, and then depending on the audience response, I may make certain changes spontaneously as I talk.
So
again,
please attend twice if you like. Go this evening and then go tomorrow afternoon as well and hear a little bit of improv on art with Gerard Edizel. Again, my guests, Colin Miller, Emmy Morgan, Creative Action. They're talking about The Power of Creativity, CES Point 2, which is tomorrow at the Acadiana Center for the Arts. Workshops from 1 to 4. There's a fine art portfolio review, and then Dr. Edizel will be giving his keynote address address from 4 until 5. There will be some question and answer at that point. But then after the talk, you have an interactive panel.
Correct.
And what is that going to be on?
I will be facilitating or, I guess, moderating the panel. We call it interactive not because it's a... It's not a Q&A thing. It is in the sense that we are getting questions from the audience, but we're not going to be passing the microphone around because, you know, just you know, for the sake of time and things like that.
Focus.
What we're going to have in the atrium, which is the fancy word for for lobby, in the lobby of the ACA, we're going to have what we're calling an idea wall. We're going to have some blocks stacked up and things like that, and we're going to have paper and surveys and stuff like that for people to fill out. And one of the things that we want people to do is to you know, play with some of the materials that we're going to put out and put them on the idea wall, and then we're going to sort of like look through those questions, and I'm along with a couple of our board members, I'm going to help curate those questions, pick sort of the most provocative ones, and I'm going to be pitching them to four of our board members. They're going to be Barbara Connor, Amy Wagaspack, David Maynor, and Emmy. Right here.
The board members of Creative Action.
Yeah.
Correct.
Very multi-generational. We want people from different age groups and all that.
And different industries.
Yeah. And the thing is, this particular panel discussion, we're kind of working two angles with it. One of them is, what do our attendees, what do our audience, what do people in the community think Creative Action's niche is in the community? We want feedback. People wanted more interaction at the last event. This is one of many opportunities that they'll have to do that. The other thing is, you know, we're going to be discussing how we move forward in Acadiana. You know, the last event was creativity, diversity, and innovation. This one is sort of about, you know, creativity. But really, how do we bridge the gap between
the ideas, you know, and the practical.
Right. The artists, and because if we're all a bunch of artists talking amongst ourselves, we're not accomplishing a whole lot, are we? If we talk about this in the context of, is there enough support for people who, artists and people who work in creative industries? If we talk about that just amongst ourselves, then we're doing absolutely nothing. So we have to bring in people from the business community and all over and talk about how all of this stuff is such a huge part of our quality of life here.
How it's all integrated.
And it is an industry.
Mm-hmm. So you're really, really hoping that people from various parts of our community who work in business, corporations, will come. Anyone who has an interest in art, anyone who sees the value of creativity in our community will attend.
And I think that that's what Innovate is, right, is all about.
Exactly.
And, yeah.
And I do want to mention that when we talk about creative industries, we're talking about anyone who's creating intellectual property. So that means anyone from restaurant owners, right? Musicians, architects, designers, software engineers, visual artists, dancers, the whole range of career choices that you have within the creative industries.
Yeah. And so some of our events are going to be varied. You know, this one, I think at the end of the day, everyone who attends can get something out of it. But it's geared a little bit more towards, you know, people who work in the arts. You know, our next event, which is going to be more focused on innovation as a driving force economically in our region, is going to be more interesting to possibly a different set of entrepreneurs. And then the next one we're going to be talking about, which is probably going to be in the fall, we're going to focus more on diversity, anywhere from, you know, job and economic diversity to cultural diversity. How do these things benefit us as a region? How do we bring them all together? And how do we take these assets and really, really do our best with them and help Lafayette reach its full potential?
Well, it sounds like with the entire week, Innovate, a lot of people are thinking along those lines, so hopefully so many will attend your events tomorrow. Again, CES Point 2, The Power of Creativity, going on from 1 until 6 tomorrow at the Acadiana Center for the Arts. You can stop by their website, which is ceslafayette.com, and find out a complete schedule. They're also on Facebook as well.
Yeah. So, can I just mention our partners really quick are the Acadiana Acadiana Center for the Arts, LEADA, the Lafayette Economic Development Authority, the Elmer Morgan Jr. Endowment for Visual Arts, and the AOC Community Media, which is our fiscal agent. So,
A lot of
we're
people
very
helping
grateful
out here.
To all of them. We have great institutions behind us.
All right.
And the relationships are being built a lot faster than we thought originally, you
yes.
know?
And it goes back to Dr. Edizel, networking.
Mm-hmm.
Networking.
yep. Yep.
Again, Colin Miller, Emmy Morgan with Creative Action, the keynote speaker for tomorrow from 4 until 5 at the ACA. It's open to everyone. Mm-hmm. Free talk, A Genealogy of the Artist and Art. My guest, Dr. Gérard Edizel, who is at Alfred University, will be giving the talk. And he'll also be speaking tonight, 5:30, on the UL campus. And all are invited to that as well. And again, think about attending both if you're interested in art and learn something very interesting about the world, the genealogy of our modern art world. Well, thank you all for coming and all of your thoughts and ideas, and we look forward to future programs from Creative Action.
Thank you for
thank
having
you so
us.
Much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
music on KRVS, performed by violinist Anne Akiko Mayers, as well as pianist Riko Uchida. They performed their composition by Gene Pritzker. You're listening to KRVS 88.7 FM, Lafayette Lake Charles. Right now we're going to head back into the studio with Judith Merriweather.
With me in the KRVS studios now is Monica Hebert, who is the Vice President of Marketing for Festival International, here to talk about the festival. I mean, some people feel it's already here.
Well, when you go downtown, you might think it's already here.
The stage is going up.
Stages are going up, and multiple of people are coming already. You can see the streets are filling up, and people are walking around.
Mm-hmm, looking for things. I know the festival film series started up last night, and so that continues throughout the week.
Yes, it does.
People can go tonight. I think there's a premiere of a Louisiana film at Cité des Arts.
That's
correct.
So you can
get a little taste of Louisiana artwork. But I guess officially, the festival starts tomorrow.
Officially, the festival starts tomorrow, and we have one stage that's open. Mm-hmm. And it's mainly our Zydeco bands. It's Terry and the Zydeco Bad Boys and Brian Jack and the Zydeco Gamblers. So we encourage you to come out and start the festival tomorrow evening.
And which stage is that?
That's the Fay Dodo stage.
Okay. So there's good dancing place there.
Oh, we have dancing for every area.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Thursday is what we call our grand opening, and that's when the main stage, Stage International, opens up. And looking forward to that, we have Sonny Landry. That's going to start that evening off for us. And then Bombino and Robert Randolph and the Family Band is going to come in and close down that.
Already you've said three groups that people are really looking forward to. I know they're all checked off on the little boxes here at KRVS, so it should be quite wild. Do you have opening ceremonies as well that are included in that?
We do have opening ceremonies. Those will happen after Sonny Landreth is finished, and it'll start at 7:15.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so attend Sonny Landreth, and then you can be a part of the opening ceremonies.
Definitely.
So lots of things going on at festival. It becomes more and more important, it seems, to like have a schedule, and make sure you've got the little brochure and you're marking off what's going on.
We definitely have pocket guides. Mm-hmm. They're always available at festival. Feel free to pick one up. Mm-hmm. It's probably better that you do pick one up. You're going to need it. Mm-hmm. But if you don't want to pick up a pocket schedule, we have our mobile apps. So it's free. Go ahead and download it. We have some, you know, all the information is on there. You can see who's playing, on what stage. And we have something great and new this year on the mobile app. We have a scavenger hunt. So you can play. It's opened up last night, and so you can play all the way through festival.
So you have to, like, find things.
You have to find
downtown.
Things. Yes, there's a ton of questions, but it doesn't take you to finish all of them to be entered in for the drawing for the prize.
Okay. All right.
So it'll be a fun thing that you can do with your
friends. So many platforms to enjoy the festival with music and food, and now an online game.
Right.
That you can play.
And you know, with everyone coming to the festival, we want to make sure that people are aware of the shuttle. And park at Cajun Field, and the shuttle runs every 10 to 15 minutes. You never have to wait. It drops you in the heart of the festival. It actually drops you right by our volunteer center. So if you have the urge when you get off the shuttle to become a volunteer, you can walk in, and I promise you we'll take you.
And it's not for like an entire day that you dedicate yourself. You can just do it for an hour or two?
You can just do it for about 2 hours, and you can let them know what you're interested in. They'll try to fit you in there.
All right. So with that shuttle, really that those of us who like circle and circle and circle the downtown area desperately looking for a parking place, really we shouldn't do that, should we?
It would take you less time to park at Cajun Field and ride the shuttle than to keep circling. Mm-hmm. So we encourage people to do that. It's a lot less stressful, and it takes away from all of the traffic downtown.
Right, and it's not as much walking, too. It'll deposit you right there on
right
Jefferson
there.
Street. Yeah. If you have just tuned in, we are talking about Festival International. My guest, Monica Hebert, Vice President of Marketing for Festival. And I do want to mention that KRVS will be carrying the festival live starting on Thursday.
That is
from
correct.
The main stage.
We're very excited about that.
Yeah. We always have people, you know, who can't make it from, say, oh, I don't know, Spain, you know, who can't come in, and so they get to listen to it online. So that'll be a nice addition. You can start off with Sonny Landreth. Now, one thing you also have is the children's area, and even though it is for children, I find I always enjoy hearing the musicians. It's very quiet. quiet, it's smaller. It's a really nice part of festival that I think sometimes adults forget about.
Yeah, and the children's area is called Scene des Jeunes. Mm-hmm. It's open on Saturday and Sunday. They have their own stage. And the programming director, Lisa, at festival, she does a great job of making sure that that stage is catered to the children and that it's exciting and fun and things that they would be interested in. There are games, there's face painting, there's so many activities for them to do. And it's enclosed, so you don't have to worry about them running in the street or mm-hmm. anything of that nature. And it's a whole lot of fun. They can just go out and have a great time and learn as young children to enjoy the festival and grow to love it, you know, as they get older.
Right. I think there were a couple festivals where I never left that enclosure with the children. So definitely a part of festival. It's great for parents and families. And again, there's Absolutely. Really nice music, and it is listed in the pocket guide as well. Some
Absolutely.
Of the festival performers performing there, sort of shorter versions of what they do.
Correct.
In festival grounds. So that's all the way on one side of festival. Again, remember that shuttle, park at Cajun Field, and it'll drop you off right downtown. Now, you were mentioning earlier that a new addition this year is something people will be very interested in, a beer garden.
We are having a beer garden. It's the Louisiana Craft Beer Garden, mm-hmm. and it will be open Thursday through Sunday, just like the rest of the festival. It's right off of Jefferson Street. You're going to be able to see brewmaster schedule. There's a brewmaster schedule, so you can go and see how they brew some of the beers in Louisiana. And we'll have tables and chairs, and we're going to have a few singer-songwriters performing out there for you. So you can just go and sit down and relax if you need just a little bit of relaxing time and enjoy some great Louisiana crafted beers.
I can imagine that place will be full for most of festival.
Yeah.
Of course, you know, we can't list all of the performers right here, but they are in the pocket guide and also online, so you can, you know, take a look at all the performers. What are some, just maybe name some of the countries where they're coming from this year.
Oh, we have Senegal. We have a lot from Canada. We have, of course, we have our heritage stage, which mm-hmm. always caters to our roots, our mm-hmm. Louisiana roots. And most people probably don't recognize that 80% of the programming that is done at Festival International is going ahead and making sure that it's a Francophone descent, so that mm-hmm. it is based off of our heritage and our culture. And then the 20% we throw in a little mm-hmm. added value, mm-hmm. whatever we'd like to hear sometimes, or whatever's really, you know, people are interested in hearing.
Right.
But Friday night is Gary Clark Jr. That's going to be a very interesting performance. And then Sunday night we have Rusted Root closing out for the festival. So it's absolutely 100% mm-hmm. something that I would say don't miss.
Mm-hmm. And people always want to know who's the last act on Saturday. That seems to be the big question.
The last act on Saturday on the main
stage,
okay, is Sean Kuté and Egypt 80.
Oh, right. That's always the one where you just see people, like, you know, jumping.
And then, of course, we have Lindigo is opening before him, and we also have Radio that's coming back. It's been a favorite.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I know people have that one already checked off. And
right.
said,
so many groups. And I think you even have a Celtic group coming this year.
I think we do mm-hmm. have a Celtic group mm-hmm. coming this year.
For all of those people who really, really enjoy Celtic music, and they'll be performing two or three times on different stages, so they'll have quite an opportunity yes. to hear them. Again, we're talking about Festival International. It kicks off tomorrow, and you all have added that night just to kind of do a lot of local music, Zydeco music, and really get people dancing and enthusiastic about the week.
Absolutely, and you can't ask for better weather. So come out and join us
mm-hmm.
and just take in all the music and our culture and everything that it has to offer.
All right. And again, the website, the apps that you have, so many ways to keep connected with the festival. And I know that when we broadcast the festival live, Cecil Doyle and all of the people who are hosting are constantly giving information about what's coming up and where to go. And so there's lots of ways to find out what's going on at festival.
It's a wonderful opportunity to hear great music, eat wonderful food, and look at some great arts and crafts. And if you have any questions or need any information, the website is actually www.festivalinternational.com.
And Monica, what was the first year you started working with Festival?
This is my fourth year on the board, mm-hmm. and so I have two more years to go.
All right. And do you remember, when was the first time you went to Festival?
I think I've been going to Festival probably since the beginning, actually.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I still remember my mom worked with one of the gentlemen that started Festival, you know, helped to start Festival. Mm-hmm. And so we cater to those people, and, you know, we are going to have a past president's luncheon on Friday, and I look forward to meeting all of those people that have done what it takes to bring it to this level.
Yeah, it really has become multi-generational now. Generations of people growing up but just expecting Festival to be there.
You know, and the amount of tourism that it brings in is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. And you never know how many people come in for this type of event. Mm-hmm. I was in Sweden a few years ago, and a gentleman stopped me and said, "You're from Lafayette, Louisiana?" And I was kind of caught off guard, and I said, "Yes." He said, "It's on your baggage tag."
Oh.
And I said, "Oh." And he said, "I love Lafayette, Louisiana. My whole family loves it. As often as we can, we go to Festival International." And I just sat there and talked to him for about 15 minutes, and he told me everything that he loved about Festival International and this area as a whole. And so you just never know who knows about this festival and about this, you know, Acadiana mm-hmm. and what we have to offer.
Very far reach. And I hope he's listening to KRVS if he can't make it this year. Sweden, Spain, China, wherever you are, you can listen to the festival Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday on KRVS. Again, my guest, Monica Hebert, she is Vice President of Marketing with the Festival Board. Festival International begins this week, tomorrow, but already people are in the spirit and downtown, so it feels like festival already. Pocket guides are available. The website is up. You can call the office, and you can volunteer. You still do need volunteers, don't you?
It takes over 2,000 volunteers to put this festival on, so give a little and enjoy festival from a different perspective.
Yes, and a lot of people get hooked. They love volunteering, and I think you have a few who have been volunteering from the very beginning still.
We do.
Mm-hmm.
We do.
Well, get started in that and help this community-wide event and be a part of what's just so exciting about the springtime in Lafayette and draws people from all over the world.
Yeah.
Well, Monica, thank you so much. We appreciate your hard work. I know you it really has intensified over the past few weeks.
We're in crunch time, and tents are going up, and it gets more and more exciting as you see more and more things going up.
Right. And I know you all are going to enjoy it so much, in addition to making sure everything runs well for the rest of us. Thank you so much, Monica.
Thank you very much for having me.
And now a look at what's happening in the arts and culture in South Louisiana. The festival film series Soirée du Cinéma continues tonight with a Louisiana premiere of Water on the Road by John Sharp. He produced, directed, and edited it. He works at the Center for Cultural and Ecotourism here at UL Lafayette. It's about Île de Jean Charles. It's a small community made up entirely of members of the Biloxi, Chittimacha, Choctaw, and Houma Indian tribes. And it's about the disappearance of their lives in some ways and their desire to keep things about their way of life. It's about an hour long. It will take place at Cité des Arts this evening at 6:30. It is free and open to everyone. And Balfa Camp continues up in Ville Platte. The Louisiana Folk Roots Nightly Dances will feature tonight Gino Delafosse and French Rockin' Boogie. That's from 7:30 until 10:30 at Balfa Camp. I believe it's open to everyone. There may be tickets at the door. The Bachelor of Fine Arts Senior Exhibition at UL Lafayette is on display now through Saturday, April 28th, at the Hilliard University Art Museum. The event, the reception was this past weekend, but the exhibit is now open to everyone. Innovate is taking place all this week in Lafayette, and tonight at the Acadiana Center for the Arts of the Passion Series, Brian Richard and Natalie Kingston's The Passion Series, short films about creative people in Lafayette. It starts at 6:30, a free program, I believe, and you can find out so much more about the creative life in Lafayette. For more information, you can either go to Innovate or to the ACA's website. The Flora Plonsky-Levy Lecture will take place this evening at 7 o'clock in Oliver Hall on the UL campus. Oliver Hall is the computer science building on campus in the auditorium, which is room 112. The lecture will be given by Sally Robbins. Her lecture is entitled Henri Bendel, From Louisiana Obscurity to Fashion Authority and Bon Vivant Icon. And she'll be addressing Henri Bendel's heyday at the turn of the 20th century, how he rose from Louisiana, somewhat obscurity in Louisiana, to being the fashion authority and bon vivant in the art of gracious living. So that's tonight. All are invited to attend. It is a free lecture, the Flora Plonsky-Levy Lecture, 7 o'clock tonight in Oliver Hall, the computer science building on the UL campus. That will be on the first floor in the auditorium. The UL Symphony Orchestra will present a free concert tonight of Tchaikovsky's Symphony No. 4. That's at 7:30 in Angel Hall Auditorium. Again, it is free and open to everyone. In Lake Charles, Dr. Karen Cox will be giving a lecture as a part of the Banners series. She is from University of North Carolina at Charlotte. The topic of her talk is Representations of the South in Popular Culture. That will be in Stokes Auditorium in Hardner Hall on the McNeese campus at 7 o'clock. A community group supporting the development of the creative economy, Creative Action, will host their second event in the Creative Economy series. It will be tomorrow, and it is called The Power of Creativity. It will take place at the Acadiana Center for the Arts from 1 until 6 o'clock. There will be workshops on various topics having to do with the world of art and business. From 2 to 4, a fine art portfolio review. From 4 to 5, a lecture by Dr. Gérard Adizel, A Genealogy of the Artist and Art, and from 5 to 6, an interactive panel discussion. For more information, you can find them on the web at ceslafayette.com, or you can find them on Facebook as well. All are invited to attend. There may be some small fees for certain workshops. The Louisiana Poet Laureate Julie Kane will be giving a reading tomorrow evening in Lafayette at the South Regional Library. Her reading will be at 7 o'clock. All are invited to attend. They will be celebrating the poetry and writing of our local talent. She'll read excerpts from her books and discuss other individual works. And then the South African Poet Laureate Willie Kegogastile will be giving a reading at Dupre Library on Thursday at 7 o'clock. It's a free reading, sponsored by the Gaines Center, the Friends of the Humanities, the English Department, the Lyceum Committee, and Dupre Library. The Como Chair Songwriter Showcase will take place tomorrow at 7:30 in Burke Theater on the UL campus. It's a free program featuring singer-songwriters Nathan Williams, David Egan, Yvette Landry, and Sam Broussard. The student songwriters will also be there from UL Lafayette's first ever songwriting course. It's a free program in Burke Theater tomorrow evening, 7:30, the Como Chair Songwriter Showcase. All are invited. There will be a gallery talk by Lake Charles and McNeese artist Jerry Wubin tomorrow evening from 6:30 to 8. His talk will be in the 1911 City Hall Arts and Cultural Center. And the Louisiana Purchase, with songs and lyrics by the great American composer Irving Berlin and Maury Riskind, will take place as a part of the Banners series put on by the McNeese Bayou Players. That will be at 7:30 April 25th through the 28th in the Shearman Fine Arts Theater, with a matinee on the 29th. An afternoon with New Orleans raconteurs will take place on the UL campus in the Bayou Bijou Theater this Thursday, April 26th, starting at 3:15. The raconteurs include George Schmidt, Jason Barry, James Nolan, and Gordon F. Tad Wilson. It's a free program. All are invited to attend. And the play Kaleidoscope by Nathan Gabriel, which is a combination of two old radio plays by Ray Bradbury, will be performed at Festival Thursday through Sunday at Theater 810 in downtown Lafayette, 7 o'clock each evening. Tickets are available either at the theater or through the Theater 810 Eventbrite section. So you can take a chance on getting a ticket the night of the performances, or go to the Eventbrite. And there will be a Bach lunch on Friday, the Canailles from Quebec, from noon until 1, and that will be at Parc Sans Souci. And for a listing of programs on KRVS, you can stop by our website clicking on the schedule button and downloading a weekly schedule. You can also podcast many of our locally produced programs. If you just click on programs and go to the program that you'd like to look for, just click on that podcast button or the listen to button, and it'll come up with all of the podcasts we have available for that locally produced program. You can listen to it there or download it for listening to later on. And of course, you can always support KRVS securely at that website. Thanks to all of you who did so during our recent fundraiser. If you missed